Welcome to EPA Region 2's podcast. I'm John Sen, and I work in the region's Public Affairs Division. And now that summer is starting to wind down, lots of people are thinking about the back-to-school season, and today we're going to talk about how you can minimize waste as you get your kids ready to head back to the classroom. Today I'm joined by Melissa Dimas, who is an analyst with a background in sustainability, who also works in the Public Affairs Division. Welcome, Melissa.
Thanks, John. Hi, how you doing? We're talking today about the three R's, which is really reduce, reuse, and recycle. Everyone, I think, is familiar with recycling because that's the one thing that we all try and do. But really, environmentally speaking, it's better to take an inventory of what you have and really reduce first, which is, thinking about a product before you buy anything. Do you really need it? How did the production of this product impact the environment? What further impacts will there be with the disposal of the product? Then you can also look at reusing. The media does a wonderful job of selling the attractiveness and benefits of buying new and improved products. But, do we really need this, or do we have stuff already in our closets or in our drawers that we can reuse? Obviously recycling, a lot of products, you think that because something is plastic that you can actually recycle it, but, there are numbers on the bottom that will correspond to whether or not they can be recycled. And today we're going to talk about a lot of these different ways to reduce, reuse, and recycle for this new school year. So maybe we can start with shopping.
Sure, that sounds good. And you mentioned before you go back to school shopping to take kind of an inventory of the things you already have. Look for things that, you don't need to buy new again every year, backpacks, things like refillable pens that you can use year after year. Something like Patagonia, they make very sturdy backpacks out of recycled bottles. So that's something that, will last for a long time and also is recycling something from the waste stream, which hits on two of those R's that you mentioned before. Binders that you can use every year and refill instead of getting the traditional spiral bound notebooks, which
I remember so throwing those out each year.
Absolutely. And I feel like you don't use half the sheets in those notebooks, and they just kind of go in the recycling bin either way. And clothing is a big back to school item too, and that's definitely somewhere where you can kind of help out there and, I guess, reuse and kind of not necessarily kind of get new stuff every year.
Right. Well, actually, organic cotton is something that you can definitely look for. 25% of the world's pesticides are used on cotton products. So, it's really important to look for organic cotton. Also, a lot of the fertilizers that and pesticides that are used contain nitrogen, and nitrogen is actually 270 times more efficient in trapping heat than carbon dioxide, and it lasts 150 years in the atmosphere, which says a lot when we're talking about climate change and global warming. Then the one place that you can go to look for organic cotton is OrganicCottonDirectory.net. That's www.OrganicCottonDirectory.net. And that'll give you a list of all sorts of products and companies where you can go buy online, or you can go to their actual store. But it'll say, what kind of products they're using, and they're certified organic cotton.
I was also surprised to see, maybe not that surprised, but Walmart on their website says that they use 10 million pounds of organic cotton, and they claim to be the world's largest buyer of organic cotton, and estimate that that trade is worth $80 million every year, at least for Walmart. So that's a pretty staggering amount.
Yeah, I didn't know that. When you are going shopping, also, don't forget to bring your own bag. That's one thing. I always put it in my purse, but if you can bring some bags with you when you're out shopping. And for a lot of people that are going back to college, a lot of times they're going to be buying new furniture, and you can look online to see, IKEA, and both IKEA and Target have some environmentally preferred products with less formaldehyde, and but make sure that you check the labels, because sometimes just because the company has environmental products doesn't necessarily mean what you're buying is environmental. So you need to make sure you ask and also check the labels.
And there's also the alternative of going down to the thrift store to see what they have there for furniture, which is probably going to be cheaper. And, you know, you can probably find some good deals down there. Same with clothing. Thrift shops are in, definitely vintage clothing, all that kind of stuff. And you can definitely save some money and get some pretty good stuff that way.
That's true. You know, actually, some colleges are starting something like a college swap, where at the end of the year, a bunch of people go around and they get, I remember in college, at the end of the year when everyone was moving out, people would just throw their furniture on the sidewalk. And these colleges are actually, a bunch of kids are getting together and collecting all of this furniture and then selling it to the incoming freshmen or other people, upperclassmen, at the beginning of the school year. So you can also look for that at your college. Look for the used furniture, and it's a cheap, easy way to get stuff and actually reuse, which, you know, brings us to our next topic of books. You know, obviously, going back to school, there's a lot of money that's being spent on college books, and also in high school and elementary school, you're going to be covering your books.
Yeah, absolutely. I think most folks have to cover their books when they're younger students, and I think grocery bags are a great way to do that. I think it's something that are sturdy. I remember I used to do it all the time, and it really worked.
And you get to decorate your book, your covers that way too.
Absolutely. And then for college textbooks, you know, the alternative to going to the bookstore and buying new and very expensive books are kind of online trading sites where you can buy used books for much cheaper prices than you would find at the new bookstore. All of the major booksellers, retailers have those types of sites set up where you can buy from other people who have just had those books. So it's another way to just reuse.
You know, are they half.com and amazon.com and eBay, right? They all have places where you can get. And so you'd be surprised what you can find. You think your book might be very obscure and you'll never find it, but you can save a lot of money.
It's definitely out there, especially for law school textbooks, which are very expensive.
Yes. But, you know, we all need to eat when we're at school. And so another way to reduce is actually packing a waste-free lunch. The average child eating a disposable lunch, which means using, you know, plastic bags and throwaway napkins and utensils, throws away about 67 pounds of waste each year. And a school of 500 kids could throw away 33,500 pounds of trash per year. So switching to a waste-free lunch, which is using reusable containers, stainless steel utensils, and cloth napkins, makes a big difference on the amount of waste that we're throwing away. And studies show, actually, that it also can save up to $250 a year. And that's only for a nine-month school year, which with the summer included could be about $300. And, you know, I mean, we all think, oh, $300, that is a lot of money, especially when you have more than one child in your house. So reducing, you know, bringing your own lunch bag or box. And there's actually something called a laptop lunch box. So you can go to, there's a great website that has tons of tips on how to do waste-free lunches with menus and all sorts of stuff. It's called wastefreelunches.org. And they have, you know, everything from trash audits, which is a great way to get the school involved, you know, reducing the waste of the entire school, you can actually have a competition between classes of, you know, how much are you producing one week where you're bringing in your disposable lunch, and then, you know, compete to see who can reduce the amount of waste by bringing in the waste-free lunch.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about waste at lunchtime, and most of us don't really think of it because we're such a kind of a disposable culture and kind of a fast-paced culture where we want everything kind of on the move. But, I mean, you think about some of the stuff that we eat, and especially the stuff that goes in kids' lunches, and it's, you know, individually wrapped cheese and individually wrapped servings of fruit and things like that. And that generates so much plastic that just doesn't need to be there if we kind of take small steps to reduce packaging, which, I mean, if you think about packaging in general for all the things that we buy, packaging accounts for a huge percentage of the weight of something that you purchase, everything from, you know, a pen to a toothbrush to a lot of the food that we buy. So
definitely.
It's definitely very important to look for food that's comes in bulk, or even like, you know, homemade sandwiches,
right?
Things like that, whole pieces of fruit. And that's likely to be healthier too, since you have more control over the ingredients and what goes into, you know, a homemade sandwich or a homemade snack or, you know, a baked treat or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, those little applesauce packages and the pudding and the yogurt, I mean, it all adds up, and you can actually buy little Tupperware containers, and it might take about 30 seconds more to fill the Tupperware, but, you know, it's not only reducing, but you're saving money as well. And, you know, there's also local food programs where you can look to see, you know, one thing that a lot of us don't necessarily realize when we're buying our food at the grocery store is that it's coming from, you know, 300 miles away or even a thousand.
Even more than that, thousands.
So if you're in New York and you're buying fruits from California, you know, that's a lot of carbon that's being emitted just by transportation.
I read somewhere the other day that even though New York is such a great state for producing apples, that most of the apples, the vast majority of the apples that we eat here in New York, come from California.
Oh, really?
So just to think about how it gets from the orchard in California to, you know, your table in New York, that's a long distance to cover, and it's got to get there somehow.
Well, you know, a lot of schools, well, not a lot of schools, excuse me, there's actually a movement here in New York to look at putting greenhouses on the roofs of many buildings, and that's one way a school could get involved in producing their own food just locally. No, and it's also a good way for the kids to understand their connection to nature and like the ability or the need to have fresh fruits and vegetables not coming from so far away. But I think that there's actually that schools are trying to engage local farmers as well, and that's one way, you know, you can talk to the PTA and through the PTA, maybe it's something that the PTA could do to get involved with making sure that we're not getting the food is healthy and it's coming from closer.
Absolutely. I know that a lot of the restaurants here in New York are starting to buy from the farmers at the New York City Farmers Market every weekend. And a lot of the restaurants kind of tout that on their menus to try to be more sustainable. And, you know, by all means, that's something that schools can do, too. I know that at the University of Montana, there's a farm-to-college program where, you know, a certain percentage or a certain expenditure of the university's food budget comes or goes to buying crops and buying meat from local farmers, so that it doesn't have to travel those thousands or hundreds of, you know, food miles, as we call them. And then you know the farmer, you're likely to be able to go to the farm and kind of see their operations. And you can be choosy. You know, if you want someone that's totally organic, like most likely you have that option for someone that's, you know, hopefully within your state or not too far away.
Yeah, it's a good way to get involved also. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're all using computers and lots of paper to do our homework on, right? So maybe we could move on and talk about the ways that we can save some energy and reuse, reduce with the computers. Definitely, you know, we all hopefully have heard of Energy Star. If not, there's a great program that's EPA and the Department of Energy have developed a product label that's called Energy Star, and it's certified that it's actually reducing the energy of the product. So look for that label when you're buying an air conditioner, or when you're buying for your room at college, or you're buying a new computer. There are all sorts of appliances, and you know, I think that in the first podcast, which you guys can check out, you talked a lot about this.
There are hundreds of computers out there, computers and accessories and peripherals that have gotten the Energy Star certification. So, you know, they definitely use at least 10%, I believe, less energy than conventional appliances and products.
And actually, the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority is actually giving rebates if you bring in your old, if you are going to go buy a new air conditioner for school and you have an old one that you used last year that's not Energy Star, they'll actually pay $100 or between $35 and $100 for your new, for towards your new air conditioner and give you money for your old one. So
and you can find that out on their website, right?
Yeah, it's NYSERDA.org, I think.
You want to spell that out just so...
NYSERDA.org.
Yeah.
That should be where you can find. There are a lot of good tips there, too.
And in terms of just recycling paper, I mean, lots of students now are, you know, doing assignments on computers. It's pretty mandatory and a regular practice a lot of places. So it's really important to recycle that printer paper as much as possible. And when you're buying printer paper, to buy post-consumer recycled paper, which... that means taking paper that's already in the waste stream and recycling it into to help make this new product.
Right.
And I read that for every ton of paper that's recycled, 380 gallons of gas and 7,000 gallons of water are saved.
Wow.
So that's a staggering amount, as well as enough electricity to power a house for 6 months. So people think that, you know, the small amount that you recycle of anything isn't making that big a difference. But, you know, people, especially students writing longer papers, you're going to go through a lot of paper in a school year.
Right.
And if you and 10 friends recycle all your paper, that's going to really save a lot of energy and...
reduce the amount of gas that's emitted.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, also, we hope that everyone's now... printing double-sided, you know, making sure that all of their paper, even if it's just for notes. But, you know, if you do, what I think is a great idea is grabbing paper from the recycling bin that's only had one side used and actually stapling it all together and using the other side as sort of like a scrap notepad that you can write things down. And that's a really good way to reuse the stuff that hasn't. And then when you're done with that, then you can go ahead and recycle it again. So it's kind of got a double recycling going on there.
Yep. Or even using the draft mode on your printer, which is it's easy to find and it uses a lot less ink. And then eventually when the printer cartridge runs out, you know, lots of stores now will give you a rebate if you bring in the spent printer cartridge instead of just throwing it away.
I think Staples definitely.
Yeah, I think it's like $3 at Staples, and I know lots of other places do it too.
Which is funny because printers aren't that expensive, but it's the ink cartridges that really add up. So as long as you can drag that ink out as long as possible,
yeah,
and then go back in and get the rebate.
And then in certain cases, I know in some schools you can just email in your assignments to your teachers, and that
that's great.
Eliminates the paper trail altogether.
Well, you know, another thing is all of the home electronics that we have. And besides the Energy Star label, looking for the Energy Star label, we can also try and find some rechargeable batteries. There are a lot of different kinds of rechargeable batteries out there. But definitely something, you know, one rechargeable battery is the same amount as of 500 regular, you know, batteries. So, you know, you're really saving a lot and reducing the amount of waste that's going into the waste stream. You're also reusing and recycling these. Well, we hope that everyone's recycling their non-rechargeable batteries because they shouldn't be going into the waste stream. But, you know, there's also particular battery rechargers that will recharge alkaline batteries, which is great. That's something that I didn't know about, but you can also look for solar-powered batteries.
Yeah. Well, and all of the major battery manufacturers make rechargeable batteries as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, if you just think about 500 batteries and just pile that up, I mean,
That's for one
that's a lot of batteries. That's a lot of weight. And at the same time, I mean, think about how much 500 batteries costs you. I mean, they're expensive.
Yeah.
And that's a very tangible cost savings over that short a time, because batteries run out pretty quick, especially with new devices that need more need more power than in the past.
Well, actually, I bought rechargeable batteries the other day that came with the charger, and I think it came with 4 AA's and 4 AAA's and the little pack to recharge, and it was $40. So
yeah,
just that alone, I think for an 8-pack of batteries, usually it's about $15.
Yeah.
So just thinking about that, it's a pretty good deal.
Another kind of similar opportunity to save money and energy is with compact fluorescent light bulbs when you're lighting, you know, your study area, your desk, your dorm room, that kind of thing. And again, compact fluorescent light bulbs, CFLs, as they're known, they use lots less energy than conventional bulbs, and they last much longer. And they produce energy from light instead of heat, which is where 90% of the energy in regular light bulbs goes. It goes to heat, not light.
Yeah, actually, but make sure that when you do buy these that you know that you can't throw them in the trash. They need to be recycled. So, but they use 2/3 less energy than the conventional light bulb, and they'll last, I think, 5 years. So they'll last you through college.
Absolutely.
Which is great, as long as you're making it through. but yeah, you know, and there are a lot of programs that EPA has. A great program that we have for buses is the low sulfur diesel buses. It's a program in New York and New Jersey, and there's actually been a study, right, John, that EPA just put out. I don't remember the exact.
It basically talked about how buses that are turned on and off and reduce idling time significantly lower the amount of pollution that goes into the air. So for bus drivers and parents out there, it's a great kind of advocacy tool, this report, to show that, you know, reducing idling time, basically the time when a bus is stopped, not moving, waiting for kids to get on and off, turn the buses on and off, and it saves a lot of pollution. And we have a website that discusses that report and kind of talks more about our program. It's epa.gov/cleanschoolbus, all one word, and it's got a lot of great information on there. So also, you know, that kind of goes into the health issue a little bit concerning schools, and that's something that people might not initially think of when they think about the school that their kids are attending, because, you know, you'd like to think that the school is healthy and that everything is up to grade there. But, you know, indoor air quality, pesticides,
right,
those types of things can be an issue at some schools.
Definitely.
And again, epa.gov/schools has some great tools on there for parents and teachers. It also has good local information for folks in this area, New York and New Jersey. And it's another great resource for people to kind of figure out what the level should be at their schools and kind of how to act to make sure that your school is healthy.
I agree. You know, actually, you can look for green cleaning products, too. You know, a lot of the products that we use, they have a lot of volatile organic compounds, which is, you know, can actually induce asthma in small children. So you could reduce that by using green cleaning products. And there are a lot of different kinds out there. Just one that comes off the top of my head is seventh generation products. They're, you know, made from natural based. There are no chemicals, and they do a good job. So that's something where, you know, parents and teachers can advocate through the PTA, or that the managers of the school that are cleaning, it's not only healthy for the children, it's also healthy for those that are actually cleaning the school. So, you know, the PTA, I think some PTAs have environmental committees, right, John?
I think they do. And again, I mean, you can check online to see what your local and state PTAs are up to. The website for the one in New Jersey is njpta.org. For New York, it's nyspta.org. And I know that the New Jersey Education Association has a section on its website about health and safety in schools, and they are at njea.org.
Yeah, I mean, there are a plethora of things that schools can do to reduce, reuse, and recycle. You know, I think a lot of schools have actually taken to composting, which is very easy as well. But I believe there's some green events that schools are hosting as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's kids and teachers can kind of take this in whatever direction they want to. I read the other day about how last year some kids in Pittsburgh wanted to kind of make an environmental kind of statement and impact with their prom. So I guess it was about a dozen or so students took the bus to their prom in their tuxedos and their prom dresses.
That's
so
great.
That was an interesting statement about how they can reduce their environmental impact, even at something like the prom.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's really, I think this is a great time to really be thinking about the future generation when we're talking about back to school. You know, it's our kids, it's your kids, you know, it's everyone should try and do something to reduce their impacts.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, if people have a good idea, and if kids have a good idea, especially to improve their school, you know, they should just do it. Getting involved is really the best and the most effective way to get something done. If you think it's a great idea, you know, kids, tell your parents about it, tell your teachers about it, tell the principal about it, tell your friends about it and get them involved, you know, and just make sure that you're out there and making an effort to get stuff done. For parents, you know, try to incorporate these practices with your kids every day. Set up recycling at home if you can, and you know, talk to their teachers if you have some of these ideas that you want to share with them to really make a difference in the classroom.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's a successful year for all of these, the three R's in the New York, New Jersey, Puerto Rico, Virgin Island area.
Yes, and also the seven tribal nations that are here in EPA Region 2. So I think we're about to wrap it up today, so I want to thank Melissa Dimas for being here with us. And again, just to kind of summarize, you know, it's the back to school season. People are thinking a lot about what they can buy, what they need to get their kids ready. But environmentally speaking, you know, we talk about waste reduction, reuse, and recycling. But the back to school time is really an opportunity to focus on reducing the amount of waste that you create, reusing materials that you should take a look at that you might have at your home anyway, and then eventually recycling things that are waste products from what you buy. So I hope people have enjoyed this broadcast for today, and please visit us online at epa.gov/region2.